The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's, pizzeria quality no matter how you slice it.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station. It's Miller time.
You are listening to a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast. It's Miller time at Chasers Pub in Lake Zurich.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
We're having a great time here. Another hour to go. You can still get here. You've made it to your weekend. Drink some ice cold Miller Lite. Talk some ball, whether it's baseball or
ball.
Football. Trade deadline's coming up. There's rumors about Ian Happ and Contreras. Nothing imminent, according to Jesse. Well, we'll replay the Tony La Russa sound here from the White Sox. We'll see which relievers they're going to be in on. The trade deadline is Tuesday at 5. Tuesday at this time. What is that? 72 hours? What are we doing? Do the math.
There'd be no math here.
What do we got here?
96.
96? Yeah. All right. That's Tuesday at 5. It will happen during the show. And it should be very, very interesting. And we'll see what deals are made by both teams. You were pointing to the screen right now. They've got the gambling lines that they're showing
Bears
for the openers.
What was it, 6.5 or 5.5 point underdog to the 49ers to open the season?
6.5 was the number there.
One of our Good Karma teammates, I told you at the end of the show yesterday, alerted me that the Bears were like plus 220 or 225.
Yes.
To win. To make it interesting, I went on the DraftKings app today. I put $20 down on the Bears plus 225.
Really?
Why not? Like, it's the beginning of the year. You should be excited for opening day.
I think I have a lighter in my car. Give me $20. We'll ceremoniously light your 20.
You're
on
right,
fire.
And that's what I've been doing lately with my gambling. I've been lighting even my small bets on fire. I'm very cold right now. But look, positive energy, positive vibes going into their first game of the year, which is at home. And they're starting in an experienced quarterback as well. Can they perhaps steal one just to give us a little
who's
bit
got,
of a taste of
who's
some
got the
fun.
Better coach?
They do.
Who's got the better defense?
Well, I mean, we still don't know about Eberflus, but they do.
Who's got the better defense?
They do.
Who's got the better offense?
They do.
I'd be more comfortable, and I get the value play.
$20 to win 50 whatever it is.
I think that number probably will go down too. If it's 6.5, I think it'll be closer to 4 or 5 by the time the season kicks off. Because you know what I think you're going to see? I think you're going to see some wildly inaccurate throws coming from their quarterback in preseason.
Okay.
Not our quarterback, their quarterback.
And we'll see. Injuries could always make a, you know, it could hurt the Bears.
Debo Samuel being in the lineup for the 49ers would definitely change things.
Does it sound like a deal is going to be done?
I think because DK Metcalf got signed.
Yeah, that surprised me today. That was a short hold-in, wasn't it?
It was.
Kyle Shanahan was optimistic as well
that's
yesterday.
What I've heard. What did
Miller, he got was a 3-year deal, but he got the most like per year contract of all receivers, right? It wasn't his yearly total.
Like 3 at 70 something, wasn't
something.
It?
Something.
Yeah, it was 3 for 72 with I think 58 guaranteed or 50.8
maybe
guaranteed.
Maybe the guarantee was also the largest.
Yeah,
for
I think
a wide
the guarantee
receiver.
Was the largest.
Yeah, I would think Debo is going to get that contract. Listen, you know how I think he's a fabulous player. I forget who we were talking. Maybe Robbie. We were talking with Robbie Gold when he was in studio. I think that he's in a perfect scenario as well out in San Francisco with a coach that definitely knows how to use him. You can't ask him to come to another offense and run the route tree and have the same exact success, I don't believe, in a different offense. I think he's exactly where he needs to be.
I know why he was mad, though. Because he's using him more out of the backfield as a running back late in the season.
Yeah.
And you know the mileage on the running backs.
Of course.
You know they don't pay running backs. And if you're going to play me in all these different positions.
You got to pay me.
Pay me in advance. Then I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I don't want you bringing me down in value because now you're lining me up in the backfield.
I think it's totally reasonable, his ask.
Yeah.
And I think it'll get done.
Yeah, me too. So we're having a great time today. We're waiting for the White Sox to still get on that run. We'll see what they do here in the stretch of teams.
Does it start tonight?
I mean, it should. It should have started a while ago.
But it didn't. Does it start tonight?
They haven't really. Early on, didn't they have the? What would they lose in a row? What'd they lose? Like nine in a row? Didn't they have a long losing streak at the beginning of the year? And then they battled back, I think, with a win streak.
I think the Sox, isn't their longest winning streak this year six games? Is it six?
I'm trying to refresh.
I'm gonna figure that out here in a second, but.
But lately, they've just been this 500 team. Now, you could spin it that they're 12-4 over their last 16 or something like that. But they have that one. Like, as Waddle pointed out, the one series they've won is the Minnesota series.
They've had one six-game win streak. They've had a couple of four-game win streaks.
What about the losing streak? Did they have a long losing streak? Yes. Why am I thinking like a nine-game losing streak? Something
there was eight-game losing streak early in the season, but that was basically at the hands of Cleveland and Minnesota,
right? When they couldn't win there,
yeah,
they couldn't win at their ballparks. So all right, Tony La Russa, in the wake of that last Colorado game, another game in which they led, another game they blew late, another game where they could have scored more runs if someone doesn't get picked off of third base on a walk.
Yeah.
More of these scenarios where you're just hearing stuff that you've never heard in baseball before. How many times have you heard a guy getting picked off a third on a walk? The 8-5 triple play was the first time it's ever happened in baseball
history. You don't
hear
about this stuff.
This is complete weirdness. But Tony La Russa would not hold his players accountable, at least publicly, and he defended them. This is what he said just about an hour ago.
Well, there are two ways to look at it. You know, you can take a one-step lead, and you don't get doubled off, and you don't take extra bases. So, yeah, we've made some mistakes that were not smart. But most of the mistakes we've made have come from aggressiveness. And what you do, you just coach it up, you know. You point out why that was a mistake, but you don't want to take aggressiveness out of the team. So I don't think it's been bizarre. I think we've made mistakes. And some of the mistakes have, you know, in a game that we lost, who knows, might have made a difference. But like I say, you go station to station, that is not a good offensive philosophy. And you've got to get good jumps and trust your instincts. And sometimes you go too far. And you remember that it's a learning experience. It's a big league. You know, you're supposed to play with effort and you're supposed to execute. That's what separates this league from others, you know, which includes making pitches, making plays, but also means on the bases. So, you know, playing hard means you run till somebody tags you out. They're running hard, but sometimes you'll try to get that extra base because it's not a good move. And, you know, we have made some costly mistakes. And just learn from them. We haven't made the same mistake twice yet. The ones that stand out the most. And that maybe change tonight, but, you know, we coach it up.
But how are they coaching it up?
They're not. Because it keeps happening. He says that it doesn't happen twice, but it has.
There's
White Sox fans in here who are hearing this and just shaking their heads.
Yeah. I mean, and then they're so – the plays are so unique that they can't happen twice. You can't have an 8-5 triple play.
It's never happened.
You can't get picked off again from third. And, like, Cleveland is a team that we've watched and we've marveled at. They're not as good as the Sox.
No.
But they hustle their
ass
off.
They hustle, they play fast.
They take the extra base.
Yes.
That's a team where when they're taking the extra base, if they get thrown out, you're like, hey, this is really a good hustling play or a good hustling team that got thrown out. I don't remember the last time we said or ripped the Sox for a guy trying to stretch a single into a double. It's not someone trying to score on a fly ball from third base on a shallow fly ball to force a good throw.
Yeah.
Those are different plays. Those are what Tony's talking about. All these plays we're talking about are unique.
Yes, he just described the Cleveland Guardians, not his own team.
Right.
That's what he did. He just described the Cleveland Guardians where they know their game plan is if Eloy Jimenez is in left field and there's anything that's hit out there fairly, you know, softly or close to the gap, we're going to stretch a single into a double. We're going to take our chances. Like, that's what he's discussing or describing, but he's talking about his team, not the Guardians. Does he realize that the Guardians aren't his team?
No, right. Just like he didn't realize that Joe Kelly had an arm injury. Play that again, Meller. Play that from... this was a good Waddle find. And I listened to Crosstalk Unhinged today, and because that came before our show yesterday.
Yeah.
Grab it on the ESPN Chicago app. I enjoyed it as a listener today. I wasn't a part of it because I had the medical test and I was out yesterday in the morning. So Carmen and Waddle got together, just the two of them. And they said to me off the air, they go, it's just not the same without the four of us.
No, it's not.
And maybe it's not the same, but it was still awesome. I texted both of you guys. It entertained me for 26 and a half minutes, whatever it was. Uninterrupted, uncensored. And there was even...
There's a lot of sports conversation in this one.
Yes, there is. And then this was the first time where I've listened as a listener and didn't know what the conversation was. And when Carmen dropped the F-bomb, yeah, my heart sank. Because I wasn't used to hearing that, and even though I'm a part of it,
yeah,
then I'm just like, oh yeah. It's unhinged. I'm like, what's going on?
We talked about his foot fetish again.
I know, and then about one compared to two.
Yeah.
I mean, what you guys were talking about. But I forgot where I was going.
This was LaRussa from after the Rockies loss on Joe Kelly's arm.
So Waddle was bringing this up. Waddle's like, hey, guys, did you hear about LaRussa? And what he said about
after the game.
And then he brought it up on our show, and I'm like, no, I still haven't heard this, and here it is now.
What about Joe? What do you know about Joe?
I don't know. It wasn't arm related.
It wasn't?
Mm-mm. I mean, it had been somebody who did it. But see it.
With what?
They might have something to do with him just, you know, losing his breath or something. But it wasn't arm-related.
That's what the report was.
It wasn't arm-related. What was the report?
Bicep.
Yeah?
Bicep.
Oh, I heard. When I went out there, it said it wasn't arm-related. So he looked at it with bicep. Well, that changes things.
I just don't know what else to say.
It's hard to understand, but
what he said was
it's not arm-related.
They asked him about Joe Kelly, who, by the way, Tony's the one who walked out to the mound and took the ball from Joe Kelly.
Right.
And they had an extended conversation because at that point, Joe Kelly comes off the field. And because of injury, Jimmy Lambert has as much time as he wants. So this is something that takes a little bit of time to unfold.
Right.
So there's no chance that Tony didn't have an extended conversation with Joe Kelly about what was bothering him. What bothered him so much that he had to come out of the game. So after the game, the media comes in and asks him about Joe Kelly. And you hear Tony talk about it's not an arm issue. And then there's a pause from the White Sox beat reporters, like, say that again?
Yeah, like.
And he's like, it's not an arm issue. And they go, well, the report coming from the Sox is, the team is that it's an arm issue. And then Tony goes, oh, really? I didn't think it was an arm issue. I thought it was more about his he couldn't catch his breath. It's not what I heard. Like, how does that happen? How does that happen?
The same way you watch your team run the bases and then you say, we're trying to be aggressive.
You just have to, I mean, you have to start asking the question, does he have a firm grasp of what's going on with his team?
It's fair.
And again,
it's all fair.
Don't get me wrong. The reason why this team is 49-49 and in third place in the worst division in baseball isn't solely on him.
No.
But these are all things that just can't happen in professional sports.
Right. With Nagy, there were so many things wrong with the
and
Bears.
And we pointed them out.
But Nagy was not right.
Yes.
I want to play you this. A listener alerted me on this because you've been the one really – who, when we've done the important list, and you and I have bickered over, like, Roquan and where he fits and how many guys you can have on your 10-person list, and you want 11.
It simply doesn't fit on my list of most important players for a year where you're building and you're growing. But go ahead.
So anyway, if we did a list of, like, the most important people in the organization.
I would put Luke Getsy ahead of the head coach right now.
He would where? Be two or three? Is that where, but like
to
Fields,
me, right
Poles, Getsy?
To me, again, and this is just me, based on what this team is how it's constructed and where it's going and where they've been. And the disaster that was last year's handling of Justin Fields, which was highlighted by what you saw in Cleveland, to me, the second most important person for this Bears organization in 2022 is Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, because he's responsible for putting everyone inside that offensive huddle in position to take advantage of what they do well. He's responsible for helping bring Justin Fields along. And he may be even more responsible than a coordinator who's calling plays for an offense that has a ton of offensive weapons. This team is limited with their offensive line. They're limited with their weapons, which means the guy who's putting together the game plan and the guy who's calling the plays can have possibly a greater impact than a guy who is calling plays for a more talented team.
So he's more important than Poles?
To me, he is
okay,
right now.
And then Poles
for,
is
for
three.
Right now.
Okay.
Like going
Why,
forward,
because where
yes.
we are in the season or like...
Yes. I mean, ultimately, when you zoom out...
It's Poles
is a more important component to the organization than Luke Getsy. But for the here and now and the 2022 season, like, Ryan Poles is going to have less to do from this point forward. He's the one that hired the players or selected the players. But now it's
Getsy's
job to get the most out of them. Going forward, Poles is going to be a more important person. But for the here and now and the immediate development of the quarterback, there's no question the offensive coordinator has a greater impact on the general manager.
And Waddle's theme has been make it make sense. Just
That's
make
all,
it obvious.
Very simple.
Make it make sense. So then I guess Mark Potash from the Sun-Times has been in on this too and has been saying like Luke Getsy is one of the most important people
no
in the Bears organization. Yeah. Cap was having none of it this morning, a listener. I still haven't heard it yet.
I haven't
so
either.
This was Cap earlier today.
But Potsy says that the most important Bear, the most important person at training camp is Luke Getsy.
I love Mark. He's dead wrong. I'm not saying Luke's not an important dude. Good to hear from him. The most important Bear, and it isn't close, where's number one?
Mm-hmm.
His name's Justin Fields.
Yes.
That's it. Whether they have a good season, whether they have a bad season, whether they win 17 games and lose none, whether they go in 17. At the end of the year, you better know what you got in your quarterback. That's it.
Oh, that was it.
I agree that Justin Fields is number one, but I would not diminish the importance of Luke Getsy.
Because he affects how Justin Fields, the most important guy by far, will operate.
What were we so upset? Why were we so upset last year with regard to Justin Fields?
Because he was set up to fail.
And who was the one that was in charge of the offense?
Matt Nagy. And then he fired himself the following week.
Without question. So there's no doubt. You're rewiring your quarterback. You're rebuilding him. Like, he's given a clean slate. This is basically a rookie season for Justin Fields. Luke Getsy, I'm telling you, is the second most important person in that building for Justin Fields. He's the most important person for Justin. To me right now, with what they're trying to accomplish, he's the second most important person in the building for the here and now.
Right. And it's why he's more important than Eberflus.
And listen, that may be too much to put on a guy who's an offensive coordinator for the first time. Like, that's a big ask. Not only is he being asked to game plan and call plays for a group that doesn't stack up. Not only do they not stack up, several football people will tell you they've got the worst offensive roster in football.
Right.
And his job is to try and develop this young quarterback with what many believe is the worst offensive huddle in all of football. Like, his hands are full right now.
Yeah, that's why it scares the hell out of me. Fields is basically redoing his rookie year, first-time guy still. Getsy's first-time guy. Eberflus first-time guy. Paul's first-time guy. And George is overseeing it as a direct report for the first time in his entire career. Bunch of first-time guys.
Yeah.
Not long-time guys.
No,
first-time guys.
But it doesn't mean that they can't be the right guys.
Sure.
Like, Justin Fields could be the right quarterback. Yep. Luke Getsy could be the right guy to get him to where they want to go. But, give me another name. Give me another name of someone who's more important to this team in 2022.
The only one that I could bring up is polls. Is that it's like it's a working thing. Like my initial reaction was it's Fields, Poles, Getsy. There's no other player who's up above Luke Getsy other than Justin Fields.
And I would say if I zoom out and I'm looking further down the line, there's no question. It's Fields, Poles, and you could even say it's Poles, Fields, and Getsy's third. But in the here and now, when it comes to focusing on the 2022 season, there's not a whole lot more that Ryan Poles can do.
Right.
I mean, he's done some things. But he can't at this point wave a magic wand, and what he does will magically make Justin Fields a better player. Luke Getsy's going to have a greater impact on who Justin is this year than Ryan Poles is at this point.
That's a good point. Coming up next, I want to talk to Connor McKnight. He will give us an inside look at the White Sox, what La Russa had to say about running the bases as well. What do the White Sox need at the trade deadline? Also good conversation. We got more Free Ticket Friday. And then before we leave, whether it's with Bleck and Abdallah, I do want to play the Will Smith, a portion of the Will Smith apology. If you haven't, first time he's come out publicly.
I have not heard it.
And he apologized to Chris Rock today. Chris Rock still is not taking his phone calls. It was a really good, like, six-minute video today that was out. We'll play you a highlight from that. It's all coming up next. I'm reading some of the quotes here before we get to Connor.
From?
Remember I told you DeMar DeRozan was going to be on the podcast on Draymond Green's show.
Yes.
That he does online.
Yes.
And he talks about there's a lot of good stuff about the disrespect that he felt from the NBA community in free agency.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so he feels good about the Bulls.
Well, but he said, like, there was all, after a few days of free agency, there was talk about him signing, like, a one-year prove-it deal and all these different things. And then he wrote, there were certain moments where I had no effing clue what I was going to do, DeRozan said.
Really?
When the Chicago thing came around, I made that happen. It was such a relief, but at the same time, it angered me and put me in a very frustrating mental of F this. I'm about to demolish anything you've got to say about me. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to just work my ass off. I'm going to prove, not just for myself, but for anyone who feels like they get counted out or doubted or get told they can't do something. And then he goes on, he says, I remember when I signed with Chicago, worst free agent signing, it was like, that's what you feel about me? So it was vengeance, not just for myself, but for anyone that gets put in this situation, because it's so easy to fall victim to bull blank they put on you that it's so false. You could lose your confidence. You could doubt yourself. You could feel like so maybe they're right. But it's like, no, I don't care how much older I'm getting. It's all about how much you put in, how much you love, and how much you're willing to sacrifice to get better. And that was my whole approach mentally going into last season. So,
and it paid off because he had a great year.
Some really good stuff from DeMar DeRozan. I can't wait to watch that, and we'll play that, I'm sure, this weekend. And then on Monday we'll play that on the show. Lori Lightfoot at this time on Monday as well.
Yes.
The mayor of Chicago.
She's coming into the studio?
Should we wear shirts that say Dome Ready?
I don't think it's necessary to...
Should we call Joe from Obvious Shirts and ask us to print up a quick batch of Dome Ready shirts?
Or do you go Oppo and go shirtless and then cross your chest, say totally. No dome, just cold. And taunt her.
No dome, just what?
I don't want that,
just
though.
Cold.
That's against what I believe in. That's against it. I just want to be dome ready.
Get an Arlington Heights tattoo on your back this weekend.
Yeah. What about some unpaid parking tickets? Should we shower her with those?
Oh, were they parking tickets or
I'm
red
sorry,
light?
You're right. Violation.
Red
violations.
Light. I think a lot of them.
No, that's not how we roll. We're first class individuals.
We'll let Yurko handle that portion of the...
Yeah, exactly.
We shouldn't play Hoodie's thing today with the letters to George because it was about Lori from Logan Square.
Oh, was
Square.
It? I didn't hear it.
Let's bring in Connor McKnight. He's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
That's right. HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicago land saves big.
Hi, Connor.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Just fine.
We're waiting. We're still waiting. We're waiting on this team to arrive. Are they ready to arrive?
I suppose now is as good a time as any, isn't it? You've got a 49-49 record. You're at home playing the Oakland A's, who could trade guys like Sean Murphy as soon as, I don't know, half an hour from now if they feel like it. You got the Royals coming up after that, and sure, they activated Salvador Perez today, but they've already moved on from Andrew Benintendi and could make some other deals. It feels like now is the time. But I want to revisit two things that I mentioned with Carm and with Peggy earlier today. I don't know that this is a division where somebody is going to run away with it. I don't know that this is a division right now after we've played, you know, almost 100 games here, 98 in total, that this is a division where any one team is going to go ahead and take command. I think we could be in a three-team mix down to the end. I think with the Mark Feinstein report of all three of these teams looking aggressively to bolster their pitching staff, their pitching infrastructure, anybody who throws anything with either arm, I think this could be something where you're waiting to the last few days of the season. The other thing I wanted to mention, Waddle and Sylvie, that I brought up a little bit with Carmen Peggy, and I apologize for retreading old ground, and maybe Waddle, you can help me out with this. I know you know the guys over at Hawk really well. How are they with minivans? They got a lot of minivans over there because my wife is pregnant, and we're going to have a kid.
It's congratulations.
Awesome. How about Connor McKnight?
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think the minivan is the way to go. I have to tell you that I thoroughly enjoyed my decade plus with a minivan.
I drove a minivan for about a year in high school, which was, listen, that costs a lot in therapy. But it's a good ride, I think, for the family, man. So we'll see what happens.
Listen, I tell the story all the time. I drove my minivan down in front and valeted it at the whiskey bar. And had four guys with me coming from doing the Fox late night show, and they all asked me to drop them off at the corner before I got there. They were embarrassed. I was not.
No, you got to own that. You got to own that. I love the idea of you pulling up to the whiskey bar and people spilling out of the minivan like a clown car. That's amazing.
No, it was just me because none of them wanted to be seen coming out of a minivan at the front door.
Which is hilarious because I know most of the people.
Exactly.
And like to think that's cramping their style.
That Dan Borelli didn't want to be seen coming out of a minivan in front of the whiskey bar.
Dan, it's the minivan, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
Come on.
This is the line. This is the line.
Exactly. So, how far away are you guys?
We're actually gonna beat out the Abdallahs by a couple of weeks. I think we're due just before Christmas.
And here's the good news, Connor, and like to know that you're about to witness this. You in like 20 weeks or whatever or so are about to experience the greatest day of your life. Like, this
amen
is,
to that.
This is. There's nothing better.
Yeah, I know. Like. Cognitively, I know that that's around the corner. We are halfway there. I hope my wife's not listening. It's still not like I'm still waiting for that moment where it feels like right now it just feels like this is a thing we've been planning for and really excited about. And, you know, I've got the plans to build a nursery and all these other kind of things. It hasn't sunk in as like something that is actually going to. Does that make sense?
It does. And let's be honest. If the White Sox pull off a trade for Soto, Juan Soto, it's going to be in competition for the greatest day of your life as well.
It might be.
Yeah. Come on. Let's just be honest right now. That will change as you get closer to the delivery day.
Will you name your kid Juan or Juanita if they get Juan Soto?
I mean, listen, he's 24. Like, why wouldn't I?
Exactly.
Anybody in baseball would love to have the guy. Everybody in baseball would love to cover the guy. Of course you want Juan Soto.
Honey, I can't wait for the birth of our child, but right now, the trade for Juan Soto is the greatest day of my life.
It's hot stove.
Hey, he's a lefty, sweetheart. A lefty.
What did you make? We played the Tony La Russa sound a couple of times about the aggressive nature. I had trouble with that, Connor, because I don't feel like some of these running mistakes are out of hustle or out of
aggression
of taking the extra base. They're just dumb.
Yeah, I think some mistakes have been out of hustle. We've seen some of those. I think some mistakes have been, you know, guys not really paying the kind of attention that you need to. I don't know, you know, in the case of Leury getting picked off a third after a walk to Yoan Moncada, that being down the base path by about a third of the line is really going to get you any sort of tactical advantage. I do respect the desire of a manager, any manager, to protect his guys. That's their prerogative. And the way they're going to handle things like that is going to be in the clubhouse. You guys know, like, that's something that has to be handled, be able to be handled internally if need be, if that's the procedure for that team. If you're going to air somebody out for a mistake, whether it's in the media or, you know, through, you know, sources or whatever, that's going to be something different, you know, and that's going to turn into something else too. I do think, though, that the White Sox have been through 98 games, a team that can't afford to give up a whole lot on the margins. And unfortunately, when you get to the mistakes they've made on the base paths, that's one place they've been hurting themselves. They remain a very good team in terms of stolen base percentage. They remain a good team in terms of taking the extra 90 feet when the ball is in play, believe it or not. If you look at the base running measures, they actually rate out the White Sox pretty well at taking that extra 90 when they can. But it's like dead ball mistakes like that, where you've got pickoff plays, where you've got a catcher throwing down to third base after a walk.
Right.
You can't have it. You just can't have it. I think, you know, the 26 guys in the clubhouse know that. The manager knows it. The coaches know it. Getting them to, you know, turn on that has been an effort for this team, and that's something that's difficult to fix in season, or at least so we're told.
Connor, when we talked with Liam Hendricks a while ago, I think one of the most compelling part of our conversation, one of the pieces of the conversation, was his conversation about complacency, and that the team does have a tendency, and that's something that they have to guard against. If you connect the dots, I mean, is this foolish to think that this team, part of the complacency is bred because they know they're the most talented team in this division, and that they're complacent that at some point they could just flip that switch because they're better than the Twins and they're better than the Guardians?
I think that it's an interesting way that you put that there, too. I think you could probably have mentioned that as an issue that was hurting the White Sox in the first 6, maybe 8 weeks of the season, right? But once Eloy Jimenez goes down to the hamstring injury, once Yasmani Grandal has to sit, once you know that you know, you've got injuries in the bullpen, once you've got Joe Kelly, you know, all these kind of things, at some point after that first little bit, after those first 50-some games, I feel like this team then knew it was in a fight. That the thing that they'd been talking about all offseason, getting a more and better internal challenge from teams within the division, was, you know, the wish granted, right? I mean, they got what they wanted, and these teams, they're fighting with two others. I think at some point, this team has realized that whatever complacency, however, how much, how little they were dealing with in the first couple of weeks, then turned into something else. You know, whether it was injuries that affected the depth, poor performance, a clunky roster at times because of some injuries and because of some players being pushed into other positions. I truly think that through the first 98, this has been one of those column A and column B kind of seasons. Like, yes, this hurts them, but it's also this, and this thing doesn't go great as well. Plus, who would put this sauce on this finish? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, right. It's all been so disconnected at times, and the issues have all unfortunately been connected to other parts of the team that have gotten going well. You know, you look at the offense since the month of July, they're right up there with the Yankees in terms of run production, and yet it's a 14-10 month, which is good, but maybe not as good as they could have been.
I got a question about the lineup. I'm looking at the White Sox lineup. Where's Vaughn tonight?
Vaughn is, Tony La Russa said that he was looking to get Eloy Jimenez and Gavin Sheets into the outfield tonight because neither of them played in the outfield in Colorado with the off day of the series, the off day before the series and the off day yesterday. He's looking to get reps for his guys. Now, to Tony's credit, that is something, since minute one, he's talked about getting everybody time and keeping everybody sharp and fresh. So that is something that he told you. From minute one of being hired with the White Sox was going to be a managerial philosophy for him. That has been a point of emphasis for him, even in the, you know, the prior decade with the St. Louis Cardinals.
I mean, with
too.
Robert out, though, you've got an extra outfield spot. Like, Vaughn's one of your better hitters. I just don't understand these days off for Vaughn.
Sylvia, I missed the very first part of what you said. Was somebody out?
Well, with Robert out, too, right? Oh. So you've already got more space for a guy like Pollock to continue to play. I just think that there's got to be a spot for Vaughn, doesn't there?
Yeah, I think that's where you get into the three catcher issue as well. I think that's what I was trying to, you know, at least hopefully address a little bit in the last part. There's an ideal outfield for this team tonight defensively. With the DH spot needing to go to Grandal in some situations and three catchers on the roster, you are out of spots for at least one of those players. It's a tough situation to be in for the White Sox, and something Tony said a lot. We got too many good players for how many spots they allow you to play. So, it'd be nice if that roster, or rather if that record, were a little bit better having these too many good players. But at the same time, this is the hand they're dealt right now. It is a tough fit. You know, it is a bit of a tough fit for the guys that they've got active, available, and either 100% or a little bit less than that healthy.
And before we let you go, Lance Lynn gets the ball tonight. At what point do we start to expect to see him putting a couple of good starts together?
I think now is fair. I think now is absolutely fair. I thought last time out he looked a lot like Lance Lynn. I'm a big numbers guy. You know, I know you are too. If you look at the stuff plus numbers that Eno Saris over at The Athletic puts together, Lance Lynn grades out really well over the last couple of starts. So this is definitely a case where the underlying, you know, the under the hood kind of stuff had been looking good for a little bit, even though the results and the how long he's been left out there hasn't exactly matched up. Last start finally did. Cylinder's starting to click, and I think now is absolutely that fair point given the under the hood numbers and the actual performance last time out, plus the lineup that the Oakland A's will run out there tonight to expect Lance Lynn to kick it into that Lance Lynn gear.
Really quick, Connor, did they figure out I think Robert was starting his rehab yesterday.
Yes.
He's out with a cold today.
That's correct.
Yeah. He's out. He's not playing tonight in his rehab stint because he's out with a cold.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys are kidding me.
We kid you not. He is out with cold symptoms.
Did they find out what was wrong with him? Why?
You know, as I understand it, they have. Tony La Russa declined to comment on exactly what it was, leaving it up to the trainers and doctors and Luis Robert to divulge. So I think that's something that we'll chase down once Luis Robert comes back up here. Tony declined to share exactly what that was today. Okay. And, you know, you don't have to like it, but you can't understand where he's coming from.
Great stuff, Connor.
Thanks, Connor.
Congratulations again.
Yes.
All right. If you guys get any How to Be a Father books, send them my way. Appreciate it. Audiobooks preferably.
Well, yeah, and there's no real way. I mean, I think it's just go in and be a dad. Swim.
Keep your refrigerator stocked.
That's stuff I can use. I can do that. I can keep the refrigerator stocked.
Next week, let's talk about if you're going to go south of the equator during the birthing experience.
I don't know what that means.
Okay,
terrified to find out.
Until next week. See ya.
See ya.
I knew exactly, obviously, as a four-time father, I know what you were saying. Well, I wouldn't do it any other way.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah, I know what it means.
Best thing in my life.
Yeah, Dollar knows.
Are you going south?
Hell no.
What?
I already told him that they're going to need an extra bed in case I pass out.
Yeah, don't you remember, like, when he gets his blood taken,
it's going to be the second your child has life. It is the coolest thing you could see in this world.
Nah, I'll see it once they lift it up.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it also at times can look like somebody tossed a hand grenade in your lap. I mean, like...
Look, it's a gamble.
It is.
You never know what you're going to get.
No, you don't know. I mean, our first daughter came out sunny side up wrong way.
Which is crazy.
Not the way you want it.
So, Sonny, explain that.
Worse for my wife than me, of course, but face up.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm still going back to why the hell isn't Vaughn playing? And is Robert and is Robert really out because of a cold? A day after coming back?
Are you going south of the border to watch your child being birthed?
I am like so confused about everything
now. To why the White Sox have Vaughn out of the lineup.
Again?
And yes, I'm being dead serious. I saw Scott Merkin tweet out that in his rehab stint that Robert is out because he's got cold symptoms.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm still trying to process Connor quoting Tony saying the Sox have too many good players.
Yeah, I laughed at that. You should have saw my face, Meller. If you were on Twitch, you would have saw. I could not believe what he said. That, like, hey, if you guys don't want to play Andrew Vaughn, I've got a couple spots on the north side. We'd love to play him every day. You don't want him? I'll take him.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like Tony La Russa wants to play him regularly these days. What the hell's going on? I'm not, again, we're not even
fans. I know,
fans.
It doesn't make any sense.
We'll talk to Bluck and Abdallah coming up next.
It's a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast.
The Miller Lite is flowing at Chaser's Pub in Lake Zurich. Are you in Lake Zurich? No? Not to worry. You can watch our crew enjoying the ice-cold Miller Lights on Twitch.tv. The Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Free Ticket Friday, caller 7-312-332-3776, courtesy of Miller Lite.
Get a chance to see all those fantastic players.
He's got tough choices on.
Too many of them.
Too many good players. You'll have a chance to win these White Sox tickets if you're caller 7. Last chance today, but there are also spots at a couple of bars, Cork and Carry in Beverly and Halftime Bar and Grill in Johnsburg. The two places that you could win part of Free Ticket Friday and Miller Lite today. This note is interesting. It was bringing Black and Abdallah. There's one guy in your corner on this. John Greenberg sent us the tweet, Abdallah, where Devin Hester was giving John Greenberg some advice before John had his first child. And the lines in his article goes like this. It says, lots of fathers, Hester glowed talking about his boy, bragging that young Devin had 30 pairs of shoes already, even though he couldn't walk. It sounds like something like your child's going to have. And also, he added, we made plans to talk again, and as he walked away, he turned around to give me some sage advice. Quote, have fun with the kid. Just don't watch him come out.
I disagree.
I believe that Greeny has the same philosophy. I've heard him talk about it. Always stay north of the border, north
Hambo,
of the equator.
Hambo, Baba.
They feel the same way.
Let's pull the hashtag crew. What do you hashtag do crew? When your Listen, wife gives birth?
I can't even.
I eat a Snickers with a fork and knife.
Like she, we went to what one of think, the appointments Carlin? And they had to get, she drew blood and I was like, I'll see you in the waiting room. So I'm not going to be able to watch that. I'm going to have to be north of everything.
Do you need to tap me in to watch?
I mean, do you want to watch that?
We do everything else together.
That is quite honestly weird. One of the oddest things I've heard this week.
Oh, please.
Coming out of the bullpen, it's Chris Black.
Were you guys over at Lala and everything? Was anybody smoking it up around you or something?
You guys already, I wish you guys were here right now. A guy just drove down State Street. I think everyone missed this except for me. A guy just drove down State Street in between cars in a go-kart with a Chucky doll on his shoulders.
I love it.
Not surprised.
I mean, it is wild in the city right now.
It's insane, and it's a perfect weather weekend, it seems like. It doesn't seem like...
Oh, we were just over Lollapalooza. It's beautiful outside. It's great.
They shut it down at 10, is that correct?
Around there. Like 10, 15, 10 o'clock, yeah.
That's what my daughter told me. Her friend who's in town... had her phone stolen from her front pocket last night.
From her front pocket?
Front pocket. It must have been sitting out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Their pockets aren't that deep. That's why.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, Waddle? I'm sure your daughter does not do this, but there's a lot of women and a lot of young girls that we saw at Lollapalooza where it's like, where are you putting the phone?
Oh.
Where are you putting the phone?
There's barely any shorts.
There's no place to put the phone.
I had barely this conversation with her, Adam, and I said, put it in your front pocket. She goes, no, I hold it. I hold it in my phone the whole time. I said, well, don't be surprised if someone comes up and just tries to grab it
and just yanks it and runs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the fanny pack? Big Cat has subscribed to the fanny pack.
She's used that in the past.
As long as you have it in, like, a lot of people wear it over the shoulder.
Yeah, this new look for dudes, that ain't working. Now, if you're a guy and you want to do the dad thing where you have it around your waist like a normal person.
Right.
But this whole over one shoulder deal as a guy, we saw, four bro dudes together.
Walking
they all
together,
had the same little accessory. It's like, did you guys go to the mall together?
So you just take the fanny pack and put it over your shoulder like your Rambo.
That's like the new thing.
Rambo.
And we saw four guys who all had the same exact one. So they all had the same exact accessory. Come on now.
What was the weirdest thing you guys have seen for the last 2 days?
Oh, the the go-kart I just saw. But definitely the... Man, I'm just feeling old. And just seeing all these kids dressed the way they are and being like, who let you out of the house like that? And then you see these all these Gen Z bros that are like, we were interviewing all these guys wearing jerseys and asking them about their jerseys. And Chris went up to one of them and said, "Hey man, hey T-Mac, can I talk to you about your
Tracy McGrady Raptors jersey?"
Yeah, and he's
on.
Like, "Hey, can I talk to you about your jersey?" Or no, it was Carter. It was, "Can I talk to you about your Carter jersey?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Sure." And he's like, "What do you think? What do you think of Vince Carter?" He's like, "Honestly, man,
I'm a lacrosse guy.
I play lacrosse. I don't even watch basketball.
I'm a lacrosse
from
guy.
My brother's closet."
I was like, "All right, man. Thanks for your time.
This was at 2:30 in the afternoon on Thursday, and the dude was toasted.
I'm a lacrosse guy.
Lacrosse is an emerging sport, as is getting hammered at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's always been a sport.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, that's always been a sport.
All right, boys. So you have a safe weekend.
Okay.
You have a half hour today, is that right?
Yeah, leading you into Connor McKnight and White Sox baseball.
All right, sounds good. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. Thank you to Connor. Also, Jesse Rogers joined the show, and Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times. Thank you to everybody here.
Thank you all.
Great crowd, as always, at Chasers in Lake Zurich. Thank you to Miller Lite, our great marketing team as well. And Tyler Aki here, Jeff Meller back at the studio, Jake Cantu as well. Job well done. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.